Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Tax Crime Junkies. Today, we're still talking trash about a waste management company and the dirty truth behind the bin. We'll finish discussing our case of Michael Higa and Wagby Gurgis, a case we're calling From Garbage Man to Jailbird. His career took a trashy turn and he took his CPA with him. Welcome back to Tax Crime Junkies. I'm your host, Dominique. I'm a CPA, certified tax strategist. I have an interest in true crimes, and I have a degree in law and lead the American Institute of Certified Tax Planners. And with me today is my oh-so-lovable co-host, Tom Gorzinski.
Happy to be here, Dominique. I'm Tom Gorzinski. I'm an enrolled agent. I'm admitted to practice before the United States Tax Court. I'm a tax instructor. And like you, I have a burning interest in true crime. So we decided to create a true crime podcast to combine our love of mysteries and whodunits. We are the Tax Crime Junkies.
Welcome back, listeners, to the story of a visionary waste management entrepreneur. This man secured the exclusive contract on the beautiful island of Guam with a mission to turn trash into treasure and generate power. But little did anyone know, this man's success would soon lead to a shocking transformation into a tax evader. Join us as we delve into the tale of Wagby Gurgis, the waste management tycoon, and his descent into tax fraud.
Let's recap where we last left off our story of Wagby and his CPA, Michael Higa. If you recall, Wagby's company, GMP Associates, failed to pay payroll taxes in 1999, and to remedy the situation and avoid losing his ability to bid on government contracts, he started setting up other entities and started playing hide-and-seek with his contracts and his funds.
That's right, Tom. As soon as Wagby feared his account would be levied or whenever he needed to bid on a new contract, like his contract with the island of Guam, he just simply started over and took all the employees with him to the new company.
They also had major issues getting paid from the states of Micronesia. They were late by over 3 years. I imagine those payroll taxes went to keeping the company afloat.
Well, that and a loan from his controller, Michael Higa, of $380,000, for which he was not getting paid interest.
At least not that we know of, Don.
So eventually in 2013, the IRS had had enough of chasing the taxes, and by that time, it was millions of dollars. And it was then that a revenue officer connected the dots between GMP and Hawaii Pacific Finance. So pretty quickly, he was able to determine that the company had been used to conceal the income and assets from GMP that should have been put towards the outstanding taxes. Boom. Now you have fraud.
So the investigation now takes a completely new turn. This discovery is what kicked off the investigation to Wagby and Michael. The IRS started their investigation by issuing a summons for the release of all financial information related to Hawaii Pacific Finance. What they found was this. Over a period of 12 years, Michael and Wagby had systematically conspired to defraud the IRS of likely millions of dollars. From 2001 to 2012, Hawaii Pacific Finance was used to divert approximately $1.3 million into Wagby's personal accounts. They did this with the sole intention of making the business appear less profitable and therefore being required to pay less tax on the business income. For years, Michael had filed the appropriate tax returns, but not all of Wagby's employee income was reported. But it wasn't just employees' income taxes which were unpaid. Michael had also been misrepresenting the business income for the GNP companies. In one subsidiary company between 2010 and 2012, the returns omitted $553,000 of income, which would have resulted in $165,000 of taxes to be required to be paid. In 2011 alone, the difference between the corporate income gross receipts and what was declared on the tax returns was more than $1.7 million.
So, question, Tom, at what point does Michael, the CPA, have to stop taking orders and start saying, dude, I can't keep doing this? And what was in it for him? Why did he keep doing this?
To be clear, Michael should have stopped years ago and ran away from this. It's clear that Wagdy had the most to gain from the situation. You and I know what he did with the money. It will come as no surprise that it funded his lifestyle, it funded his personal expenses, and he used it to make investments.
Well, he also did a lot for the Coptic Orthodox Church. He was a faithful follower, and he helped to finance and actually establish this church on the island of Hawaii.
All funded with fraudulently obtained funds, I'm sure. And I don't think the IRS considered this charitable nature in their invasion case.
Probably not.
But while the agents believed that Wagdy directed Michael to prepare these false and misleading returns, they also believed Michael had done so willingly. This wasn't a one-off. This wasn't an accounting mistake. It was a systematic process of deception carried out over multiple years, probably because they both thought they could get away with it.
That's just crazy to me. I'm all for being a good employee. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I shouldn't be employable. but sometimes that means doing the right thing and saying, what the hell are you doing here? I'm out. It's just not worth it. And so you have to imagine no one is being super honest here. So how can Wagdy and Michael even trust each other? As Michael, I would not trust Wagdy no matter how good he was with getting rid of garbage. So when the IRS had levied the bank account of the original GMP company due to the unpaid taxes, Wagdy and Michael had diverted incoming payments to, again, another business which was not levied. Wagdy had also dragged a tenant who was living in a property that one of his businesses owned and pulled them into the cover-up. Wagdy just told him, hey, ignore the frequent IRS collection notices. There's a problem. And instead, he told the tenant that rather than pay his rent directly to the IRS, which is what the notices ordered, they should just continue paying it to him.
Wow.
So during the course of the IRS investigation, agents spoke with Michael, Wagdy, and employees of the various companies who'd all been caught up in the ploy. And this is where things get really suspect, because from the outset, Wagdy's statements did not line up with the paper trail. Remember, you've got to always be able to prove what you're saying is the truth. And he denied doing anything wrong or even being aware of what was happening regarding taxes in the GMP businesses.
Of course he wasn't aware, but it just wasn't his own denial he was relying upon. IRS agents discovered that Wagdy had tried to convince others to cover for him as well. Remember when the revenue officer issued a demand for financial records from Hawaii Pacific Finance? Well, Wagdy knew if those records were turned over, the balance sheet would have revealed the true nature of the company. It wasn't a finance company at all, but simply a shell to conceal GMP's real earnings and assets. The balance sheet showed all the $1.3 million he had taken from GMP. It also showed the $250,000 payment, which had been used for the condominium, which was now in his wife's name. So Wagdy went to his bookkeeper, a woman by the name of Doris Porritt, and he ordered her to quote unquote, clean up the balance sheet. Now, Doris was familiar with the bookkeeping for GMP, but she had never done any work for Hawaii Pacific Finance. And because of this, she's like, no, she refused to do as WAGB ordered. She was then called into a lunch meeting with WAGB and Michael, where she was told, according to Doris, in no uncertain terms, she had to do what she was told. For the next 2 days, she was instructed by Michael on what had to be removed from the balance sheet while WAGB watched over her shoulder.
How awful. Can you imagine? It sounds like poor Doris was being chastised and maybe even shamed into doing this dirty work. Why didn't Michael the CPA just do it?
Well, they weren't done changing the records entirely yet. And actually, Michael didn't even work there by the time Doris was working WAGB's magic on the books. WAGB was asking Doris to go back through the accounting records from GMP Associates, the original GMP business from 2001, and make it look like the business owed WAGB money. This would make it look like he didn't need to pay taxes because the income he had taken out was just a repayment of a loan. They had to bring in Michael because Doris didn't know how to do the appropriate journal entries, of course. But WAGB wasn't done with the cover-up yet. So far, he had withheld taxes, underreported his income, siphoned money for his personal use, moved assets to avoid paying tax on them, and tampered with records. But he still had more in him. When WAGB found out that one of his employees had been called to testify before a grand jury with respect to his tax issues, he, of course, out of the kindness of his heart, offered to provide an attorney to the employee to avoid needing to go to court. The employee declined and chose to testify.
Oof.
3 months after appearing before the grand jury, WAGB approached her and told her he had no knowledge of the allegations that were being brought against him. Now, the employee knew it wasn't true and had testified as such, but WAGB tried to force her to sign a statement saying he had no knowledge of any wrongdoing.
Ooh.
The employee refused to do what WAGB demanded, and she had to leave her job at GMP that day. WAGB's attempts to change the employee's testimony, I think, is pretty clearly witness tampering.
That, though, that is what Michael should have done from the very beginning.
Yes.
Refuse to do something wrong and then leave your job. I can't. You know, as an EA, you might have a similar obligation, Tom, but as CPAs, we're ethically required to disengage from a client or quit our job rather than do something we know to be flat out dishonest. So good on her, Miss Employee who left her position. I'm glad she didn't let WAGB bully her out of integrity. And besides, did he really think that was going to help make it all go away anyway? The mind of a criminal, Tom, is a dark and treacherous place.
And speaking of criminal, now let's look at the charges. But are you ready? Because it's a lot.
Okay, I'm ready.
In August of 2017, after an extensive criminal investigation by the IRS, both men were indicted on multiple charges of tax evasion and conspiracy to defraud the government. The defendants were charged in a 15-count indictment. Both defendants were charged with conspiring to defraud the United States by impeding, impairing, and obstructing the lawful functions of the IRS, which include ascertaining and collecting taxes owed to the IRS. The government alleged that the defendants impeded the IRS by using corporate entities to conceal defendant Gerges' income from the IRS, and to place income and assets beyond the reach of the IRS to thwart collection efforts. The defendants denied that they were ever part of a conspiracy to impede the IRS's lawful functions. Wadendie was charged with 3 counts of filing false corporate income tax returns, 1 count of failure to file a corporate income tax return, 3 counts of tax evasion, 1 count of corruptly endeavoring to obstruct and impede the IRS, and 1 count, as we said, of witness tampering. Michael Higa was charged with willfully aiding and assisting in the preparation of these same returns, and willfully aiding and assisting in the preparation of false returns for Wagdy Gurgis that did not report all of his income for tax years 2010 and 2011.
All right, that's a lot of charges. To be honest, I thought it would actually be a lot more. That whack-a-mole game sounded like hundreds of entities over time. But now you know the fullness of the charges brought against Wagdy and Michael, let's talk about the sentences they were facing if convicted. They were both facing a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison on the conspiracy charges alone, and the charges related to filing false tax returns carried a maximum sentence of 3 years, while failing to file a tax return carries a maximum sentence of 1 year imprisonment. The witness tampering, though, is where we start to get really serious time. Wagdy's charges for witness tampering carry a maximum term of 20 years imprisonment.
Wow.
So Michael, on the other hand, was charged with aiding in the filing of a false tax return, and that carried a sentence of 3 years. So overall, this is a pair of people that were facing substantial prison terms if they were found guilty of the crimes they were charged with. So it's no surprise that both defendants pled not guilty. They were subsequently given a trial date of October 2018. And Michael and Wagdy were released on bond while they awaited the trial. But let me tell you, that's no picnic. Wagdy was restricted from traveling off the island of Oahu, and his passport was surrendered. So he sought permission to be able to go to the mainland of the United States, where his wife was undergoing treatment when she was waiting for a double lung transplant. She was really sick, and unfortunately, his request was denied. And it was denied due to the fact that Wagdy had made no attempt to repay the money that was missing that he owed in taxes. And so the IRS successfully argued that he was a flight risk. So again, is it really worth it to not be there with your wife while she's getting a freaking transplant?
Unbelievable. Michael was released on a $50,000 bond, and he had restrictions put on his ability to process financial transactions, which clashed with his work as a CPA.
You don't say.
Right? Under the terms of this condition, any transaction that exceeded $5,000 was to be clearly documented and notified to the prosecuting attorneys, in other words, the lawyers representing the government. This applied whether it was a personal or professional transaction. Given Michael's history and the very reason he was being prosecuted, there was concern that he may attempt to further conceal his assets or move his money out of the reach of any court-ordered restitution. Michael also had to surrender his passport, and he was prohibited from contacting anyone related to the case aside from his lawyers.
Now, I'm assuming Michael's defense was that he was only doing what he was told by his boss, and how could he have known what he was doing was evading tax?
You got it. Court transcripts show how Michael attempted to have the case against himself thrown out on the ground that he could only prepare tax returns based on the information provided to him by Wadi. His claim was that Wadi was to blame for everything, because he hadn't told Michael the truth about his income. It was Wadi and Wadi alone that had hidden the company assets in order to avoid paying taxes. Michael's lawyer asserted that the IRS was only going after him for conspiracy, because without him, there wouldn't be a conspiracy, and therefore they couldn't charge Wadi with conspiracy in the first place.
That sounds pretty flimsy, though, if you ask me.
In defense of the two separate conspiracy charges, the government asserted they had substantial evidence to prove that the pair had conspired for more than 12 years to avoid paying corporate and employee taxes. They had evidence to prove the evasion wasn't a one-off, and there was no way that Michael was oblivious to the real situation for that long of a time. When the government defended the second count of conspiracy, they brought the court's attention to the fact the charges actually only implied to Wadi. It didn't name Michael at all.
So he had a conspiracy with himself? So the crux of Michael's attempt to have the case thrown out before the trial even began all rested on the fact that GMP was a registered company in Guam, as well as registered in the United States. And through his lawyers, Michael attempted to have the counts related to GMP dismissed, as the income through that company was declared in Guam, and therefore the U.S. government didn't have jurisdiction over the tax returns.
Oh, the old, it's a foreign entity and I don't have to pay tax on it defense. Well, once again, lawyers acting on behalf of the government had a quick answer for the motion to dismiss. GMP was incorporated under the laws of the state of Hawaii in 2005. When Wadi incorporated the business, he stated under penalties of perjury to the state of Hawaii that the principal office was at 1100 Alakea Street in Honolulu. Under Section 6012 of the Internal Revenue Code, corporations have a duty to file whether they have gross receipts or not. Anyone who runs a business in the United States, regardless if the work of that business is offshore, knows that tax returns must be filed in the United States. It would then be up to the IRS to determine the tax liability for that corporation. Now, on top of that, the prosecution argued that GMP did actually do business in Hawaii, not just Guam, as Michael was claiming. And the cherry on top was that even if Michael was correct that all the business occurred in Guam and therefore the business didn't need to file a return, the IRS presented a letter which was sent to GMP stating that a delinquent return was required to be filed. On top of this, Michael himself had filed tax returns for GMP in the years prior when the business was operating in similar circumstances, and therefore he had knowledge of the requirement to file a return for the business. So with this information, the judge denied the motion to dismiss, and the trial went ahead as planned.
Well, if you ask me, that attempt seems like a Hail Mary, just trying to get out from under the charges. But the prosecution here was two steps ahead. Don't file the returns, Michael, if you're going to claim that you don't have to file the returns.
Exactly. Now let's get into the trial. YB and Michael were represented during the trial by their own attorneys.
Hold on. Do you think Wagdy actually paid for Michael's lawyer? So it all comes down to doing what your boss tells you. You're facing prison time, and you loan the money, and then you have to somehow come up with the money for a decent defense. Wow, Michael, not worth it. Since they had two separate lawyers, they had two different defense strategies. From the outset, the lawyers for Wagdy presented an entirely different narrative of the operations of the various GMP business than what the IRS was attempting to prove, of course. So they first explained that GMP Hawaii was set up for contracts delivered in Hawaii, while GMP Guam was for contracts delivered in Guam, and so on and so forth. Hawaii Pacific Finance also had innocent enough origins, according to the defense. It was established to buy the condo, which was leveraged against the loans of one of GMP's businesses. So when the finance company sold the condo to Wagdy's wife for $250,000, That was a legitimate above board transaction done through lawyers and with the IRS's knowledge. So they absolutely refuted any claims of conspiracy, and they even brought in an expert accountant who testified that there was no underreporting of income. They relied heavily on the claim that the revenue was actually a loan, which didn't need to be declared to the IRS.
Now that sounds like the attempt to get Doris the bookkeeper to change the books and indicate that the company actually owed him. Next up was Michael's defense, where Wagdy's lawyer went straight into the details of taxes and liens and revenue. Michael's case began by attempting to present the human side of their client. They spoke of his family, his age, his education, his qualifications. They spoke about his abilities as a boss, and they always took the time to teach and guide his employees. They even went so far to call him a good Samaritan. They also claimed that over the time of his employment, Michael had loaned GMP more than $370,000 of his own money.
Yep, remember he gave $380,000 to the company? What in the world did Wagdy have on Michael? Jeez, an employee who will loyally help you break the law and give you money. But here's the thing, I really think it was a disadvantage, Tom, that these two were tried together. I imagine it was hard, if not impossible, for the jury to separate the crimes in their minds, because it's really two separate types of crimes, right? Michael's lawyers attempted to downplay his role at GMP. Even though he'd worked there for 8 years, they stated that he was asked by Wagdy on several occasions to prepare tax returns rather than that being a primary function of his role as financial controller. But the key position of his defense at trial was exactly what he had claimed in the pretrial motion to have the case against him dismissed. Wagdy was the owner, he was the dominant character in the story, and Michael only did what he did under the instructions of his boss. But we all know how that turns out. CPAs have an ethical responsibility to remain in integrity, even if that means losing your job. I have to tell you, though, Michael Higa's defense was pretty convincing. If we look at the timeline, it lays it out much easier to understand. Wagdy didn't pay over the $800,000 in payroll taxes in 1999, right?
Yes, I'm with you.
Well, Michael Higa didn't even start working there until 2003. So Wagdy's got this debt that happens 4 years before Michael Higa is even hired. So in his testimony, Michael says that he repeatedly asked Wagdy about these debts and he stressed the importance of paying them. In fact, that's what caused Michael to leave the company in 2011. That's in 2011 is when Micronesia finally paid everything that they owed. And he said by the time that they paid their debt, Michael automatically assumed Wagdy would pay the taxes that he owed. And when he didn't use the money for the payroll taxes, Michael split.
Yeah, but what about those journal entries Michael taught Doris how to do, the ones that conceal the true financial status of the company?
That's pretty strange too, Tom. That meeting was lunch at a restaurant and was more than 2 years after Michael stopped working for Wagdy.
So then why would he have Doris cover things up?
Exactly. He claims that they were asking him how to consolidate books for all the entities and did not give him the context for which they were doing these changes. So he thought he was there for a different reason, and he thought it was for internal reporting, not tax purposes. And I got to tell you, Tom, I have a real problem with this timeline. Plus, why would Michael Higa be part of a conspiracy in which he received no benefit?
Yeah, I agree. I wondered about that myself. Also about the loan. There was just no benefit to him at all.
The elements of the offense are, number one, that Michael Higa aided and assisted in the preparation of a false income tax return as to a material matter, and that he did that willfully, which means he has to know about it.
If what Michael Higa says is true, he simply relied on Wagner's assertions and reporting to prepare the tax returns. During the trial, the government presented witness after witness who backed up their position that Wagner knowingly moved money between GMP entities. While they couldn't testify to his intentions, they definitely could speak to what he asked or directed them to do. The government also had plenty of evidence taken from the balance sheets of the various businesses. They had the checks from Hawaii Pacific Finance made out to the benefit of Wagner. The government's position is Michael had to have known and aided Wagner.
I don't know. I'm feeling a lot of doubt.
So the jury gets the case. Can you imagine? Sometimes these are just lay people who don't understand financial statements and the tax law. They must have really hated being seated for that jury. They deliberated 5 days and finally returned their verdicts for both men. Wagner and Michael were both found guilty of conspiracy.
Yep. Wagner was found guilty of 3 counts of filing false corporate income tax returns, 1 count of failure to file a corporate income tax return, 3 counts of tax evasion, 1 count of corruptly endeavoring to obstruct and impede the due administration of IRS laws, and finally, he was found guilty of 1 count of witness tampering. Ultimately, Wagner was found guilty of all the charges brought against him. But here's the thing. Michael was found guilty of 1 count of aiding and assisting in the preparation of a false tax return for one of Wagner's business entities. He was found not guilty on 4 of the other charges of aiding and assisting in the preparation of a false tax return. Geez, Tom, I mean, it sounds like Michael was able to prove that maybe he didn't really know what was going on.
Even so, from that point, it was all over for them, Dominique. After being found guilty, both men were remanded into custody while they awaited sentencing. Wagner again attempted to gain permission to travel to the United States mainland to visit his sick wife. His request was denied again when the lawyers acting for the government argued he was still a flight risk due to the money that remained unaccounted for. Wagner was also known to have a large number of contacts throughout the U.S. and South Pacific, which increased his flight risk even further. The judge also commented on the number of untruthful statements that Wagner had made throughout the investigation and court proceedings, which didn't work in his favor when making this request. Yep, don't lie to the court and expect them to believe you when you want to visit your sick wife.
Here's what the winning attorneys had to say about the case. The lawyers that were representing the government said Mr. Gerges owed the Internal Revenue Service employment taxes, and with the help of Mr. Higa, they conspired to obstruct the IRS's attempts to collect the tax by concealing income using a nominee entity and preparing false corporate and individual income tax returns. The defendant's actions to obstruct the IRS collection efforts are very serious. IRS criminal investigation will continue to pursue employers who collect these taxes and use the funds for personal gain. Ouch. So in 2019, Wagner was sentenced to 5 years in prison. He was also ordered to serve 3 years of supervised release and pay over $3 million in restitution.
And for Michael's role in the scheme, he was sentenced to 40 months imprisonment as well as 3 years of supervised release. He was ordered to pay just over $2 million in restitution to the IRS. Some of the restitution was to be paid together with Wagner, and some was ordered to be paid by Michael separately. Wow, despite being acquitted of many of the charges, Michael still wound up doing a lot of time, almost as much as his boss. In 2019, GMP Associates, along with a number of YB's other businesses, were forced into involuntary dissolution. But Dominique, the story doesn't end there.
No, it doesn't, Tom.
At the end of 2020, Michael Higa filed for a compassionate release early from his prison sentence of 40 months due to the COVID pandemic.
So let's see. When he was taken into custody in July of 2019, that means he served about 18 months at that time. What happened with that request, Tom?
Well, the court was not inclined to give Michael an early release, but, and this is very sad, he stated that not only was he 67 years old, he had developed stage 4 kidney cancer that had metastasized to his lungs. So the court did grant his request, and he was released in February of 2021.
Ugh, even worse, right? I bet all that stress poisoned his body. Well, it's also bad news, unfortunately, for Wagdy and his wife Magda. Remember his wife that was having that transplant? She died. She passed away in December, just after Wagdy was convicted. And sadly, Wagdy also passed away as well. In March of 2022, he was 79 years old, and so he was released from prison in a box. And he was eulogized in Honolulu at the church that he loved and served, the St. Mark's Coptic Orthodox Church of Honolulu. This might be creepy, Tom, but I watched the funeral service, and it was really just so sad. It just reminds me that no one is solely all the bad things that they do. But it's hard to say if Wagdy just got in too deep, like one bad decision turning into another, and it just snowballed. But unfortunately, he did take that turn, and the last years of his life were an incredible struggle. So that's why it's important to learn from these cases that we cover so that we can grow and learn from others' mistakes.
Well said, Dom. Often one mistake leads to another, because we fail to just own up to the original mistake and make peace with it and move forward. That goes for the CPA, Michael Higa, as well. I'm sure if he had stopped right away and considered everything that was happening, he could have made different choices. Now, keep in mind, it's not a defense to simply say, I was just doing what somebody else told me to do. We all have a responsibility to have integrity. And as difficult as it may be, we can see that some witnesses in this story did. We have to walk away sometimes. It's just not worth it. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Take what you learned today and use the truths that hit home to transform the way you do business. Dominique and I are grateful you decided to join us today, and we hope you consider subscribing to the show and even sharing it with some friends who could use a Tax Crime Junkie podcast in their life. Help us spread the word and come back for more.
We hope you'll join us again next week as we continue our mission to find the loopholes that went left and close them for good. Until next time, remember, every crime has a trail that leads to the truth.